Good evening and welcome to What's About Florida. I'm Lynn Hatter. Tonight we're taking a closer look at the battle over the state's tourism agency, Visit Florida. A secret million-dollar contract with the rapper Pitbull has put the agency in the crosshairs of House Speaker Richard Corcoran and the chamber's leaders. In his opening address, Corcoran again challenged what he calls the special interests.
Lawmaking is about making choices. So let's choose courage over safety. Let's choose people over politics. Let us never have to worry about that agonizing pain of regret. Let's never be afraid to fight for what is right. Let's be afraid of being afraid. So remember, over the next 60 days, let's fight. Let's joyfully and proudly go crashing against the special interests and the status quo, and show the people of this state that this house truly belongs to them.
During his State of the State address, Scott mounted a rigorous defense of Visit Florida.
I want to be very clear in acknowledging that both Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida have made mistakes, along with their many successes over the years. And I do not fault anyone for pointing out those mistakes. Anytime we can eliminate government waste, we should do it. But just like what we do in the business world, we have made changes at both agencies so the organizations can be more efficient and more transparent. Any CEO or business owner will tell you that unfortunately mistakes are made sometimes. But you don't just give up and shut down. Take your ball and go home. You figure out what the problem is and you fix it. Let's remember, we are talking about people's jobs and their ability to provide for their family. Tourism is one of our state's top sources of revenue. And if that declines, we will set our state on a course for either tax increases or cuts in services. These are the facts. Getting rid of Visit Florida and ending advertising for tourism doesn't make any sense in the real world. Successful companies know how to market themselves. They don't stop advertising when business is good. Coca-Cola and Chick-fil-A didn't stop running ads when they reached the top of their industry. Think about it for a minute. Do we really have to argue about how important tourism is to the Florida economy? Do we really have to debate about whether marketing or advertising works? Visit Florida has been responsible for recruiting record numbers of visitors, a record of nearly 113 million visitors last year. Florida still have tourists if we stop advertising? Sure. We're going to have less. That's going to mean less jobs, less tax revenue, less of everything. When it comes to jobs, I'm for more, not less.
Now the governor is out with a statewide TV ad.
Tallahassee politicians want to stop marketing Florida and competing for jobs.
The politicians in Tallahassee don't get it. They don't understand how jobs are created. If the politicians in Tallahassee say they don't want to market our state and we lose tourists, then we're going to lose jobs. If we lost 2% of the jobs in tourism, that's 28,000 jobs. The politicians are wrong. There is not a job that's expendable. Every job's important. Florida will compete.
Sponsored by Let's Get to Work.
But Scott has already been dealt a major blow on the subject by the House. And as Nick Evans reports, House Speaker Richard Corcoran got his bills, and he also got enough Democrats to build a veto-proof majority.
Florida's lawmakers are back in the Capitol, and at the end of the day, they have just one job: agree on a balanced budget. The governor's wish list includes money for tourism, economic development, and a couple $100 million in tax cuts. House Speaker Richard Corcoran, on the other hand, thinks Florida has a spending problem.
I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, every single government person comes up here and spends money like a teenager in a mall with a first-time credit card and they're locked in there. It's got to stop, and we got to start cutting up the credit cards.
This week, measures eliminating the state's business recruiter, Enterprise Florida, and scaling back its tourism promotion agency, Visit Florida, passed their final committee stops in the House. Lawmakers there are planning to put the bills to a vote Thursday. In his opening statements, Corcoran emphasized the fight he's led against wasteful spending at state agencies.
We questioned an agency's expenses and exposed their failures and their abuses. We forced another agency into the sunshine. We sued a rapper and won, only to reveal more wasteful spending.
Corcoran's single-minded focus on how agencies spend state dollars has landed a few in court and a handful more in the paper. Enterprise Florida has lost two leaders since Corcoran began attacking the agency last year, and a raft of executives at Visit Florida headed for the door after a contract with the rapper Pitbull came to light. Meanwhile, in the Senate, President Joe Negron opened the session highlighting legislative priorities, like higher education and a new reservoir project south of Lake Okeechobee.
And there's an important sentence in Legacy Florida that's part of our law now. This isn't an idea, it's not a suggestion, it's not a proposal. The law of the state of Florida. And the one sentence says that priority shall be given to projects that reduce the need for discharges east and west of Lake Okeechobee.
Negron's reservoir would reduce those discharges by drawing down water from the lake, treating it, and sending it south. He envisions financing the project through a new round of bonding supported by Amendment 1 dollars. But Corcoran isn't keen on new borrowing. The House Speaker, Senate President, and Governor are ostensibly playing for the same team. But ideological rifts open up like chasms between the three Republicans leading Florida's lawmaking institutions. It's promising the major legislation is already on the floor in both chambers. But if Florida's leaders can't find a way to bridge their divides, session could run off the rails. Corcoran, though, isn't worried.
And even a special session is not a disaster. It's just a more complicated, longer discussion.
I'm Nick Evans.
Florida's tourism market is made up largely of overseas visitors. Florida's a big player when it comes to international trade and tourism. Tom Flanagan sat down with Britain's Consul General to talk about the long-standing relationship between his country and Florida during a time of great uncertainty on both sides of the Atlantic.
David Proger has been Britain's Miami-based Consul General since 2014. That, combined with an extensive background in world trade and tourism, gives him a unique vantage point when it comes to assessing the current state of economic affairs between Florida and the UK.
We're in a good place. Well, I say we're in a good place. We're in a changing place, I think you would say. We are the biggest European visitors, number of visitors to Florida. Brits love Florida. We have about 400,000 Brits who live here. We got 1.7 million who visit every year. And that won't change, although obviously we're in a different situation with our Brexit vote, which has had an impact on the exchange rate.
More on how the ever-changing value metric between the U.S. dollar and British pound affects the two places' relationship in a moment. But one thing that doesn't change is the desirability of Florida as a British visitor destination.
The offer here is just amazing, whether it's the theme parks in Central Florida, whether it's the music festivals or the vibrancy in the rest of the state. I think Brits will always want to come to Florida. So from a tourism perspective, I think we're optimistic that we'll be holding up quite well.
Although Britain, as it once was, is no longer the top non-Canadian origin market for Florida tourism, a number of years ago, South and Central America took that honor. But when it comes to non-tourist business, Proger says the UK and the Sunshine State remain very significant and prosperous partners.
From a business perspective, it's a great time to invest in the UK, and the UK always likes investing in Florida. So we've got 300 British businesses who are based here. Just in Miami, where the consulate is based, I think we have, according to World City, over 35 multinational headquarters just in that little part of the state, let alone by the time you start talking about the links we have with Jacksonville through the JAGS, the links we have up through the Panhandle, through an awful lot of the defense-related industries, obviously Central and Western Florida. So I think the relationship is in rude health, as they'd say.
However, one Florida-based contributor to that relationship is not in such rude health, as Proger puts it. It's Enterprise Florida, the state's public-private economic development partnership, which at the moment is dead as a doornail as far as the Florida House is concerned. That's because the House voted to abolish it and drastically shrink its tourism promotion counterpart, Visit Florida, this past Friday. Proger says he'll keep working to maintain and expand business between his country and Florida.
That relationship is not only very long-standing, but it's hugely beneficial to us both. And it's a relationship that I'm here to help deepen and strengthen in both directions. So we will work with Floridian companies, in whatever context we find those opportunities emerging. And I'm here looking for those kinds of opportunities where we can build those partnerships.
One other thing impacting the relationship is that Florida is no longer the big visitor bargain that it once was because of the relationship between the U.S. dollar and the British pound. And that also brings us back to the basic question, will Brexit and President Trump have any impact on the partnership between Britain and Florida?
No one can predict the future. For those of us who have been following the politics, we know that even more now than we did a year ago. If you look at the broader macroeconomic picture, the prospects for the UK are good. We're still the fastest growing G7 economy. We have been for about the last 3 or 4 years. We're seeing our economic projections being revised up pretty consistently now over the last certainly 6 months since we got through the Brexit shock. Our employment rate is a historic high. So I think we would argue that our economy in its broadest sense is in a good position, and that will trickle through to the ability of our citizens to come and enjoy Florida in the future.
David Prodger, the British General Consul based in Miami. For It's About Florida, I'm Tom Flanagan.
Joining the pitch to save Visit Florida is the U.S. Travel Association. It joined scores of travel officials from across the state to lobby lawmakers to keep funding for the agency intact. Well, Michael, welcome to It's About Florida. Thanks so much today.
Thanks for having me.
So I want you to talk about, if you could, sort of the state of tourism. You're from the U.S. Travel Association, so let's start there. What's the state of tourism in the U.S. right now?
In the U.S., it's strong. We've had several years of consecutive growth. We've added more jobs than many other sectors in the economy since the economic recession. So in all, it's we're in a very good situation in tourism on a nationwide scale. Obviously, there's risks involved and some potential storm clouds, whether it's funding issues like here in Florida, or whether it's something like the executive order. There's always the risk that improvement and that growth can stall, but there's no reason to believe right now that we're in for that.
We're about 3/4 of the way into the first quarter. Are we still seeing the trend lines going up for tourism, or are you beginning to see some of those storm clouds, as you just kind of mentioned, start to take form into possibly thunderstorms?
There's no reason to believe that's the case. We do still see growth. If there is any slowing of that growth, it's going to be just that slowing, but we don't see any reason to believe that there's going to be any decrease in growth in 2017. That said, again, it's only a matter of one bad decision in the government that could make it for a decline in the travel industry. So we're a very fragile industry. We're the first industry to see during a cutback or during any sort of attack. We're the first to see the negative results of that, but we're also the quickest to respond and grow again after such a threat happens.
Who are our big tourism partners? You know, looking at other countries, where are most of our visitors to the U.S. coming from?
Sure. So we obviously, just because of the ease of it, most of our international travelers come from Canada and Mexico. But then when you look at overseas markets, obviously Western Europe is extremely big for us and lucrative for us. There's a program called the Visa Waiver Program that applies to 38 different countries throughout the world, and they're allied partnered countries. And that allows travelers to come here by going through an online background check instead of going into their embassy for a physical visa. And 60% of our overseas travelers come through that program. So if you look at those 38 countries, a majority of them being in Western Europe, that's where you see a majority of our overseas travelers coming in from.
Gotcha. And so far, we haven't seen any sort of anything happening with our overseas visitors, despite a lot of executive orders and sort of saber rattling at the top.
We're starting to get that data in. Obviously, there's a lag. So right now, some of the reports that you see being covered cover the intent to travel. But when it comes to actual bookings, we haven't seen physical data yet to prove that there is any decrease in demand. However, we are hearing anecdotal stories, particularly from countries like Germany, that where they're extremely sensitive to optics. And that's something that we're really concerned about, is that the U.S. we need to be welcoming to legitimate travelers. Obviously, security is at the foremost of concerns for travel. Without security, there isn't travel. But at the same time, for those that are legitimate travelers coming in, we need to foster a welcoming environment and say the U.S. is still open for business.
Now in Florida, Florida is a major tourism state. In fact, it's one of the biggest parts of our economy here. And we see a proposal that would essentially slash Visit Florida, which is the state's tourism arm, by about 75%. You know, what sort of impact would that have?
It would have a drastic impact, and it's really a shame that we're even talking about this because, as you said, tourism is the lifeblood of the Florida economy. It employs 1.4 million Floridians, and when you look at all of the tax revenue throughout the state, it accounts for 30% of all the tax revenue, money that goes towards paying for police officers and firefighters and teachers. So it's a shame that a couple of folks in the state legislature feel that they could put so many Floridians' jobs at risk and so much tax revenue at risk for some political gain. But when it comes to it, if these proposals were to come to fruition, it would have a drastic impact because it puts Florida at a competitive disadvantage. When you look at states like California, who's the number one state for tourism, Florida being second, California is licking their chops to be if Florida were able to push forward this proposal to slash Visit Florida, because they see that ability to capitalize off of it. They just increased their budget to over $100 million for state tourism marketing. And they're seeing the ability to attract people from Naples to Napa or from South Beach to Long Beach. So when you see proposals like this happen in other states throughout the country, you see their competitors up their efforts to be able to capitalize and convince those travelers to come to their state instead.
The U.S. Travel Association is launching this Faces of Travel effort to kind of stop this proposal here in Florida. Tell me a little bit about that campaign.
The Faces of Travel campaign is something that U.S. Travel did on the national scale back in 2009, and it was in response to when President Obama came out and attacked the meetings industry. And similar to what we did back then, we're doing the same now and localizing it in Florida. We're trying to get video testimonials and written testimonials from the frontline employees that will really be impacted by these poor government decisions. So the cooks, the housekeepers, the front desk staff, the people that will be the first to suffer if there is a drop in tourism in the state of Florida. So what we're asking is people to visit floridafacesoftravel.com to not only submit their own testimonial of why tourism is important to their livelihood, but also to see what other people are saying throughout the state. And our ultimate goal is to package these and send these directly to their lawmakers to humanize the issue and show that these are the real men and women in the state of Florida that are really being affected by the government.
One of the reasons Visit Florida got in trouble in the first place was its million-dollar contract with Pitbull and the fact that they kept it secret. How common is this? And, you know, what is the U.S. Travel Association's stance on transparency and contracting?
I think when you look at the travel industry, U.S. Travel Association and its member organizations, transparency and accountability are of the utmost concern for us. We're fully supportive of transparency and accountability. When you look at Ken Lawson, the new CEO of Visit Florida, he's 2 months into the job, but 2 days into the job, he put in place all kinds of new transparency and accountability measures that address a lot of the concerns that have been brought up and leveled during this debate. So I think he's done a great job already. Obviously, there's more work to be done, and I think he's up for the challenge and he's willing to make those reforms. But when you look at the bill that just passed the House, HB 9, they disguised a lot of the measures contained in that bill as, quote, transparency measures. But what they really do is they paralyze Visit Florida and they put them in really handcuffs so that Visit Florida won't be able to do their job effectively and won't be able to do their job well. And essentially, the reforms that are put in place there would kill Visit Florida. So I think they're being guised as transparency and accountability, but really they're so excessive that Visit Florida would just be put in a position to fail naturally.
Be specific. Give me an example of a provision that you guys think is really problematic with respect to HB 9.
Sure. The first one is there's a provision that says that any contract over $750,000 has to be approved by the Senate. And frankly, if you're in the tourism marketing or frankly in the marketing field, you know that a lot of the ad buys and contracts that we work with are over $750,000. So when you look at something like that, it just adds a lot more red tape, bureaucratic approval, and it really just expands the role of government in a field that they don't necessarily need to be concerned about. Another one is that all out-of-state and international travel by Visit Florida employees would have to be approved and reviewed by the governor. And when you look at a state tourism office, their job is to be on the road selling the state of Florida and getting travelers to come to the United States. There's trade shows, there's marketing missions, there's meetings with travel media in key media markets throughout the U.S. Those are the opportunities that you have to welcome more travelers and build the visibility of Visit Florida, and particularly those smaller cities that are less known to these big markets, and to have every out-of-state or international trip by any staff approved by the governor is just, it's not realistic.
What about this argument that I've heard come up lately, which basically says, you know, we shouldn't be spending money sort of outside our state. We should be spending money to get more Floridians doing in-state travel and in-state tourism. I mean, could that make up the difference?
Potentially, but the amount of people coming in from outside of the country and outside of the state are much more lucrative travelers. Those that are traveling much closer to home, like throughout the state of Florida, typically don't stay as long and don't spend as more as the out-of-state and international travelers. The average overseas traveler spends $4,400 per trip to the United States. Whereas when you have a family of four traveling for a long weekend, they're not nearly spending that much per person. So while it is important to get more Floridians traveling throughout the state, it's really the cash cow is those that are coming from outside of the state and outside of the country.
So, you know, what are you telling Florida lawmakers? This is already sort of passed the Florida House of Representatives. It's now probably going to get swept up into budget conversations moving forward. How do you make the case to essentially save this particular agency?
I think it's kind of three-front. First is really talking about these other case studies throughout the states to show that we've been there, done that. At the U.S. Travel Association, we have the luxury of being on the nationwide scale, so we're able to bring that national perspective to it and say, we're giving you an insight into what the damage that can be done is. So we're warning them and sounding that siren now to say, don't become our next case study. And then on the second, we're really talking about the return on investment, that for every dollar invested in tourism marketing, you get a return on investment here in the state, not only in the travel industry, but again, supporting a lot of the other services that Floridians depend on. And then lastly, we're really talking about the small businesses and the mom and pop shops that would be impacted the most on this. It's not Disney and Universal that are going to suffer the most. They're going to continue marketing. They have their own budgets. The problem is they're going to be marketing their own properties. They're going to say, come to Disney, come to Orlando. They're not going to be saying, come to Naples, come to Jacksonville, come to Pensacola. That the smaller destinations and the smaller businesses are the ones that benefit most from Visit Florida being able to bring them on the national and international scale. And in the travel industry, when you look at all the travel companies combined, 84% of them are small businesses. So that's why we're really trying to show that it's the small businesses that are being impacted more so than the large corporate guys. They'll be just fine.
Michael Jacobson, thank you so much for taking the time out and speaking with us today on It's About Florida. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Special thanks to the U.S. Travel Association. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Taylor Cox provides technical assistance, and I'm Lynn Hatter. Join us next month for more discussion on the issues impacting our state.